The Franklin Institute supports WHYY. Presenting Vatican Splendors, featuring 2,000 years of Vatican history and a collection of historical and religious objects many never before on display to the public. From the sights and sounds of the Grand Basilica to a touchable cast of the hand of St. John Paul II, it's an opportunity to experience the grandeur of the Vatican. Open September 19th, only at the Franklin Institute. Tickets at fi.edu.
Pope Francis delivered his message of compassion and unity this morning on Capitol Hill at a moment of particular turmoil for Congress. I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Let's see how the pontiff's message was received with WHYY Washington correspondent Matt Laszlo. Matt, thanks for joining us once again on NewsWorks Tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Matt, the turmoil is that threat of a partial government shutdown next week over funding for women's health services at Planned Parenthood. And regardless of whether the Pope was focusing on that specific piece of information, let's listen to him making this call for unity.
The contemporary world, with its open wounds, which affect so many of our brothers and sisters, demands that we confront every form of polarization.
Matt, you were on hand. How, in general, was the Pope's message received today?
Well, that was the interesting thing. We have a very hyperpartisan Congress, very divided, and also just when it comes to religion, it's a very mixed body. We have a couple Muslim members, a few atheists, a lot of Protestants, and a lot of Catholics as well. But everyone really came together, and everyone kind of put aside their partisan hats for... It was a brief hour, and everyone seemed to come together. And like the Pope said in that quote, that was kind of the biggest takeaway from his speech today. But then a few hours later, what does Congress do? The Senate votes on a bill to defund Planned Parenthood, which they knew was going to fail. So while lawmakers got the message, they might not have gotten the message.
It's interesting. South Jersey Congressman Donald Norcross commented that the only other time he could recall that kind of unity was during the 9/11 attacks. He also acknowledged that the Pope wanted to deliver a very strong message to attendees as well.
Certainly, you know, in many ways, he politely took us to the woodshed talking about polarization and extremism and better to work together than to be divided.
But Matt, toward what end? Is there going to be a lasting effect, or is this just making nice for the duration of the Pope's visit?
Well, and that's the interesting thing. It seems like lawmakers here, while they were heartened and while there was bipartisan tears shed in the Capitol today with the Pope here, it seems like lawmakers really didn't let that message sink in.
So on the face of it, it moved hearts, if not minds. Let's listen to the pontiff once again talking about immigration.
The people of this continent are not fearful of foreigners because most of us were once foreigners.
I wasn't there, but it sounded like that hand clapping came both from Republicans and Democrats.
Well, so that's the funny thing. A few reporters caught up with presidential candidate Ted Cruz after, and he was saying he loved the Pope's message on immigration because he was speaking to legal immigrants, which the Pope never said that. So there was this interesting thing that conservatives and liberals heard kind of what they wanted to hear from the Pope's message.
Is it your sense that that selective hearing was due to the ambiguity of the specific phrasing that the pontiff used, or is it just a matter of hearing what one wants to hear?
I think what the Pope did was really brilliant. Everyone thought it was going to be this very liberal message, and everyone thought he was going to really hammer Republicans on climate change and then really hammer Democrats and liberals on abortion. He brought up those issues, but he did it so delicately that he didn't really give either side the political win that both were kind of expecting. And I think that just shows his wisdom. And he knew he was addressing a very hyper-partisan body, but he did it with love and tenderness and delicacy, which I think party leaders on both sides of the aisle could really learn a lot from him.
Matt, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thanks for having me.
WHYY Washington correspondent Matt Laszlo. At the World Meeting of Families, the only panel touching on the topic of homosexuality sticks to the traditional party line.
My mom and I are completely committed to the Catholic Church's teaching on human sexuality.
That's Ron Belgau. He's speaking on behalf of Catholics who choose to be celibate. Since the Church only condones sex among married couples and the Church opposes same-sex marriage, celibacy is the only official option for gay and lesbian Catholics. WHYY's Laura Benshoff reports that being excluded from the Catholic Convention has not stopped Catholics with non-traditional sexual or gender identities from trying to be heard during the Pope's visit.
There are a lot of religious pilgrims in or heading to Philadelphia right now.
Hi.
Some are coming to have a spiritual moment. Others want to influence church policy.
Hello, my name is Nicole Santa Maria from El Salvador.
Santa Maria is joining 14 pilgrims organized by Equally Blessed, a Catholic group committed to equality for LGBTQI people in the church. The Q and the I in that growing umbrella term stand for queer and intersex. Together with a coalition of gay Catholic organizations, Equally Blessed is putting on its own conference to showcase voices left out of the World Meeting of Families.
The point to have the Lord's love in our life is to create the spaces that people can be happy being themselves.
Being themselves means not calling sex and relationships between same-sex couples a sin. It also means defining gender less strictly. So far, the Catholic Church has not adopted those messages. When Pope Francis famously said, "Who am I to judge gay people seeking God with goodwill?" in 2013, many seized on the phrase as a harbinger of change in the church.
Of course, you know, we haven't seen that.
That's Marianne Duddy Burke, executive director of LGBTQI Catholic group Dignity USA.
In fact, we've seen Pope Francis continue to work against same-sex marriage, to say that it's a threat to the family, to say that same-sex couples shouldn't be allowed to have or adopt children.
At the World Meeting of Families itself, organizers denied an application from Fortunate Families, a group for Catholic parents of LGBTQI children. Earlier this year, the Vatican ruled a Spanish trans man couldn't become his nephew's godparent. At the parish level, individual churches may welcome same-sex couples or gender nonconforming people, while others may villainize or exclude them from taking sacraments.
You know, I've been with friends at funerals and heard the priest say, "If you're a homosexual, don't come to communion."
And she says official church documents send mixed signals. In a letter to bishops from 1986, then-Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger called homosexuality theologically and morally wrong. But the man who became Pope Benedict XVI also condemned violence against gay people and admitted their need for spiritual care.
And in some ways, that's very representative of the whole struggle of the church, you know, the pastoral and the dogmatic.
In other words, minister to the person first or enforce the rule of Catholic law. Rick Henshaw is director of communications for the Catholic League of Religious and Civil Rights, a group that has railed against LGBTQI Catholic organizations. He has another take.
Nobody is excluded from the faith, but that does not mean that any behavior that we'd like to engage in is acceptable.
He says Pope Francis is merely highlighting existing parts of church doctrine, not changing it. And for some LGBTQI Catholics, that means continuing a tenuous relationship with a church that they love, but that doesn't always claim them. Michael Rocks runs the local chapter of Dignity USA, which is forced to meet in an Episcopal church because a Catholic church won't host them.
Well, first of all, I was born a Catholic and I was raised a Catholic, and it's my church. And I'm not going to be put out of my own church.
He says, for the Pope's visit, he's leaving the activism to the national groups.
After this is all done and the Pope is gone and everybody else is done, we're still a community of gay and lesbian Catholics here in Philadelphia, meeting the spiritual and religious needs of our congregation.
At a meeting of bishops last year called a synod, some members tried to adopt more inclusive language about gay people into church documents, to no avail. That topic is expected to be revisited at the next synod in October. For WHYY, I'm Laura Benshoff.
The developer who created the Comcast Tower and the Navy Yard complex in Philadelphia now has his sights set on New Jersey. As WHYY's Joe Hernandez reports, a project announced today would change the face of the Camden waterfront.
If you look at Camden from Philadelphia today, the skyline doesn't quite stand out. But Philadelphia real estate developer Liberty Property Trust wants to change that with two silver skyscrapers as well as a series of smaller buildings to house offices, residential space, stores, a hotel, and a park. With a $1 billion price tag, the project would be the largest private sector development in Camden's history. Governor Chris Christie took a break from the campaign trail to attend the announcement. He says this project signals that Camden is finally turning around and beginning to benefit the residents.
They have waited far too long and had far too many false starts and empty promises. Yet now we've seen over the last 5 years that each of those three elements I mentioned, public safety, public education, and private investment, are now all happening in this city.
Ambitions for the project are high. Developers envision a Camden so flourishing, so attractive, that it will connect with and compete with Philadelphia like never before. Liberty CEO Bill Hankowski says Camden's progress on public safety and attracting business means the city is finally ready for substantial investment.
There's a momentum in a sense that this is a place that maybe is on the rise and not necessarily a place that's in the decline or simply, you know, dormant.
Developers aren't applying for state tax breaks for this project, but they did say that it will be a selling point for any companies that may want to locate there. Liberty could break ground as early as next fall and hopes for a ribbon cutting by late 2018. From the New Jersey desk, I'm Joe Hernandez, WHYY News.
Taking a look at this evening's headlines, the Pennsylvania State House has passed a short-term spending bill that Governor Tom Wolf has promised to veto without an agreement on a plan to end a nearly three-month-long budget stalemate. Today's vote on the Republican majority's short-term spending plan comes amid intermittent closed-door talks that have yet to produce much, if any, progress. Lawmakers failed to override Governor Chris Christie's veto of a bill requiring law enforcement agencies to be notified when a prospective gun buyer applies to expunge mental health records. New Jersey Senate President Steve Sweeney has postponed a final vote on the override, vowing to revisit the measure later. And some 65 technicians and photographers at NBC 10 are going on strike just 2 days before the Pope's visit. The Philadelphia Business Journal reports the workers, members of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 98, voted to strike yesterday and walk off the job today. The station will reportedly employ non-union techs and photographers during the papal visit. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on WHYY. Still ahead, crowds flocking to Philadelphia hope for a once-in-a-lifetime experience, seeing Pope Francis. And an enterprising pilgrimage planner promises to deliver on that experience to the 1,000 visitors she's bringing to the city this weekend.
When they're in that wheelchair in the nursing home or wherever they are, they can say, I was in Philadelphia. You know, here's the flag to prove it.
Newsworks Tonight continues on WHYY.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Philadelphia supports WHYY. Patients lead busy lives while fighting cancer, working, raising families, and doing the things they love. CTCA helps patients maintain their quality of life by strengthening their immune systems while in treatment. CTCA's integrated approach to cancer treatment includes conventional cancer treatment combined with nutritional counseling, organic cuisine, naturopathic and chiropractic medicine, physical therapy, and other important treatments. More at cancercenter.com.
When you think Domino's Pizza, you think pizza. Fair enough, but try Tech Giant, too.
We believe by transaction counts that we are in the top five of e-commerce companies in the world.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the pizza emoji, and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM.
Coming up next on WHYY.
The Franklin Institute supports WHYY. Presenting Vatican Splendors, featuring 2,000 years of Vatican history and a collection of historical and religious objects many never before on display to the public. From the sights and sounds of the Grand Basilica to a touchable cast of the hand of St. John Paul II, it's an opportunity to experience the grandeur of the Vatican. Open September 19th, only at the Franklin Institute. Tickets at fi.edu.
Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Devadas Chelvam studied philosophy and theology at the National Seminary in Sri Lanka. He was ordained a Catholic priest in 1960. After 10 years of ministry, he came to the United States earning master's degrees in theology and sociology, and it was at that point that his spiritual life took a turn. That journey is shared in his book entitled Living with Saints and Sages. David Ost, thanks so much for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me here.
Let's start at that turning point where you questioned your Catholic faith.
It started about 5 years after I became a priest, during the controversy about birth control. Some moral theologians were questioning the stand of the Catholic Church. Catholic Church was officially opposed to artificial methods of birth control. And using artificial methods was supposed to be immoral. So whereas actually morality is based on your intention. And if intention was to avoid birth, then whether it's natural or artificial makes no difference. Both are on the same level. How could the church distinguish like that?
But then not just that issue, it caused you to continue to look into other aspects of the church teachings, be they around hell or other superstitions, so to speak.
Right. So call it an exaggeration on their part in certain doctrines. So like there is some meaning in punishment for sin. When we do something wrong, we have to suffer. And from that to conclude that suffering has to be eternal, that's stretching it too far. The scriptures don't clearly say, because there are parts in scripture that talk about universal salvation, that everybody would be saved. There are other parts that talk about eternal hell. So you must take that in the context and understand that essentially God's mercy is eternal and he won't create somebody and leave them to suffer for eternity. I mean, he loves everyone.
Yet all this questioning ultimately led you to distance yourself not just from Catholicism, but for a period all religion.
Yes. I started questioning, and the concept of God was very problematic for me. A Christian concept of God distinguishes God as completely distinct from creation. And for me, creation itself, if it is totally distinct, it limits God. If there is God on one side and there is creation on the other side, the creation, by its very being, limits God. If God is infinite, then creation must be part of God.
Your book so obviously does not value, say, Catholicism over Buddhism, Hinduism, any other religion. In that sense, is it close to what's espoused in, say, a Unitarian church?
My book is about spirituality. Spirituality is found in all religion, all institutions. Institutions and religious rituals and all that, they have to do with externality. You know, how externally what you do to find God. Finding God is essentially an internal thing. So external actions help you to go deeper inside. And God is found deep within. Christ said the kingdom of God is within you. So you have to go deep within to find God. Everyone has to do that.
In their own way.
In their own way.
Your book is a journey that takes years. And yet I've heard it said that you're hoping that your book will save others as long and arduous a trip, that it's a shortcut or a catalyst, in a sense, to finding a sense of spiritual peace.
Yeah, I feel sorry that I wasted a lot of time being an agnostic, and therefore I want to save others from doing that. You know, agnosticism's good. It's a very honest way. When you don't know, admit that you don't know. Instead of saying, I believe this and all, when you really can't believe. So I accept agnosticism even for people as one way to move towards God. You know, atheists are also moving towards God.
David Aschoven, thanks so much for joining us on Newsworks tonight.
Oh, you are welcome. I enjoyed it also.
David Aschoven is the author of the book entitled Living with Saints and Sages. A new edition coming out next month will instead be called Limitless Love. Truly, we are that. All the anxieties around Pope Francis's visit to Philadelphia, like which streets will be blocked off and how much walking will be required. Well, Belinda Held has those worries times 1,000. She's a pilgrimage planner who's bringing 1,000 attendees to the city for the World Meeting of Families, as WHYY's Marielle Segarra reports.
Organizing a pilgrimage is usually old hat for Belinda Held. She's the group travel director of apilgrimsjourney.com. And for years, she's brought small groups of Americans to Catholic sites in Europe, including the Vatican. She's seen Pope Francis probably 7 times.
I should just stay back, or he'll say, "You again? Really? Make room for somebody else."
The world meeting of families has been harder to plan. Information has trickled out at a snail's pace and often changes. When Held was pounding Philly streets this winter trying to book accommodations, hotels and other venues weren't ready to commit.
I would say 20 turned me down for, you know, one saying yes.
Those details are settled now, but unanticipated costs could still bite into her budget. Held's pilgrims are already gathering this week, including Helene Beharik from Pittsburgh. She says there's something else unpredictable about this event. Pope Francis. The Pope is so spontaneous that he might, say, stop the Popemobile to kiss a baby and throw off the timing of everything.
That's part of the adventure, part of the excitement, but also for someone like Belinda, part of the real challenge.
Belinda Held says she needs this trip to go well. Her professional reputation is on the line. But she says she also feels personally responsible for giving her customers a story they can tell for the rest of their lives.
When they're in that wheelchair in the nursing home or wherever they are, they can say, "I was in Philadelphia. You know, here's the flag to prove it."
Held wants the pilgrims to remember the trip as magical and stress-free. To make that happen, she'll do the worrying. Marielle Segarra, WHYY.
Finally this evening, well, maybe you're tuning into this broadcast as a so-called pilgrim in town to see the Pope this weekend. If it's your first trip to the City of Brotherly Love, you may have noticed a few quirks of our city, or maybe you're just looking for a good bite to eat. Either way, our social media editor has been compiling and tweeting factoids and suggestions for your virgin visit, like soft pretzels are appropriate at any meal and pair well with most beverages, or don't fear the scrapple, but don't ask what's in it. Why, yes, Logan Square is actually a circle. Get a cheesesteak, but eat it like a real local and avoid the cheese whiz. Yeah, we do have kind of a thing about Ben Franklin. Wawa. It's a real word, we promise. There's no First Street. Also, don't look for 14th Street. We call it Broad. You can find more tips by following us at Newsworks, WHYY. That's all for tonight's show. Newsworks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben-Yakov and Kimberly Haas. Listen again to a story or catch up on a missed show via podcast or online at newsworks.org. The World Meeting of Families wraps up tomorrow, and tomorrow evening we'll look back on the week's events and then ahead to the big event. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Heller for Newsworks Tonight.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Philadelphia supports WHYY. Patients lead busy lives while fighting cancer, working, raising families, and doing the things they love. CTCA helps patients maintain their quality of life by strengthening their immune systems while in treatment. CTCA's integrated approach to cancer treatment includes conventional cancer treatment combined with nutritional counseling, organic cuisine, naturopathic and chiropractic medicine, physical therapy, and other important treatments. More at cancercenter.com.
A proud supporter of WHYY, the Fox School of Business at Temple University presents the Fox Executive MBA, a 16-month program with classes held one weekend per month in Center City, Philadelphia. Designed to fit the needs of seasoned professionals looking to enhance their business acumen and advance their careers, the Fox Executive MBA curriculum emphasizes applied learning and offers individualized attention in transformational leadership development. Details at fox.temple.edu/EMBA.